Hey, Corey here. We've had an influx of new listeners, and so I just want to make sure that if you are new to the podcast, you don't just jump in and start listening to these daily episodes, which we've been doing. Please go back and listen to the first at least 8 episodes so you have an idea of what Collapse is, what it is that Corey is talking about. Also, if you've been with us for a while and you're enjoying the content, please join us on Patreon. We would love to see you there. There's a link, as always, in the description. Okay, welcome to the first episode of 2025. Hope everybody had a good new year and started the year off right. So you may notice a little bit different if you're watching on YouTube. I don't have my little video down in the corner. Last week there was a whole thing with the audio being off from the video, and I need to do some work to try and resolve that. If you are all into technology and want to shoot me a message about why that's happening and how I can fix it, that'd be great. But for now, I'm going to just turn off the camera. If you feel like I can't focus on the video when I watch on YouTube, I have to have like your face in the corner so I can watch your lips move and see what you're saying or whatever. I don't like just looking at a screen with a static, you know, image or whatever on it. Tell me, I'll take that into consideration. If enough people care, then I will make sure to turn my camera back on. But my guess is that this will work just fine. So today's episode is just kind of a fun one. I never like to take predictions seriously. I've mentioned this, you know, a couple episodes ago. Predictions are dangerous. Nobody knows what the future holds. It's too hard to say. And I've just realized that I've actually moved some of these episodes around in order. So next week is actually the episode where I'm going to be talking about what Collapse might look like in the future. And I mentioned in that episode, hey, I'm doing an episode soon on predictions. Well, I've reversed the order because this is the first episode of 2025. I figure we might as well start it with the predictions. So you will be seeing this one before that one. It'll sound a little funny because I mixed up that order. But anyway, yeah, predictions. I think it's good to have an idea of what you think the future might be like. And I think it's fun to talk about that with other people. I like hearing other people's predictions. I like talking to other people about my own predictions. However, I never take predictions that other people have seriously unless they are, you know, an expert in their field and they're backing it based off of concrete evidence, which I am not an expert and I don't have any concrete evidence for the timing of any of the things, any of the predictions, right? My predictions today that we're going to go through are things that I do think will happen at some point in the future, but there is no way to say when those things will take place. And so saying, oh, I predict these things are going to happen this year, I don't actually think that they will all happen this year. It's fun to do some long shots and kind of see what happens. The material from this episode, so my family, my brothers actually reached out to me and said, hey, we want to do like a 2025 bingo. So let's all come up with some predictions and share them with each other and see how many we each get right. Now, our bingo was not supposed to be like a Collapse bingo. Naturally, the way that I am, most of mine were. And they were like, whoa, dude, like, I sure hope that your predictions do not come true. And I was like, yeah, me too. But I did several and I went back and revised them so that they weren't all so collapsey for that purpose for my brothers and my siblings. And anyway, so I figured what I'll do today is I just share the ones that were Collapse related that I put into that bingo. And I also added in some others just to make it so that it was a nearly complete bingo board worth of predictions. And before I jump in there and we just take a look at them, one thing I'll mention is, and that you'll notice, again, I do feel like all of these things will happen at some point in the next 10 years, maybe 15 years. Maybe some of them are further out than that. And I kind of just threw a bunch of stuff together that I think will happen at some point and then said, let's put them into this year. Maybe some of them will end up being right. Maybe none of them will. That said, I would be interested to hear other people's predictions. Like I said, I love hearing predictions. I love hearing what other people think. If you have a bingo card that you've put together or one that you would like to put together, feel free to send it to me. You can, we've got an email address. It's breakingdowncollapse@gmail.com. Feel free to send an email or reach out, you know, on YouTube or however you want. It'd be fun to hear your predictions. Put in the comments what you think will happen this year. You can make them long shots. You can make them whatever you want. The more specific the predictions, the funner that is. But all right, with that said, let's just jump in and go through some of these. All right, here's my bingo. We can start in the very center with my free space. This isn't really collapse related, but I thought it was fitting as a free space. This was a few weeks ago that I made this board. And I felt like, yeah, Elon and Trump are going to have a major feud and fallout. Again, not collapse related necessarily. I think discordance in the government is definitely a problem and one that will get worse with time. But in an oligarchy or a plutocracy or in whatever you want to call what we are in the U.S. right now, the sort of feud between big money is something that I think will definitely happen. And so that's my free space. And I'll start in the top left corner now. If you're just listening to this, it's just fine. All we're looking at here is my bingo board with everything written out. You can join on YouTube if you'd like to take a look at it, but I'm going to read all of these individually anyway. All right, in the top left, the first tactical nuke used in modern warfare. I think that as we continue to increase in the number of wars and the amount of tensions that are being experienced throughout the world, this is an inevitability at some point. I think this line will be crossed. I specifically put tactical nuke. I think that a government at some point is going to use a tactical nuke in a situation in which they know that no one's going to respond in an escalated way. So many people talk about MAD, mutually assured destruction, for the reason why nukes will never be used. But I think the thought behind that is, like, a nuke is the absolute worst weapon that you can possibly use. And if you fire one off, you have crossed a line in which, you know, everyone is going to retaliate and it's nuclear winter and everyone's going to be destroyed. And I think that in today's age, there is a variety of nuclear weapons, of types, of sizes, of destructive capabilities. And tactical nuclear weapons can be pretty precise and contained and that sort of thing. And so I could see a Putin or somebody else saying, you know, we're in a situation where I can show that I am just unhinged enough or that I am willing to do what I say I'm going to do or willing to do what it takes to win. And that means I am going to be the first to do this. Knowing that perhaps a retaliation may come in a similar fashion, right? Someone else may fire a tactical nuke back, but that it wouldn't escalate into, or at least they would believe that it would not escalate into full, like, nuclear warfare, all out, mutually assured destruction. So anyway, that's my feeling on that. Again, not saying that this is something I believe is going to happen this year, but I do think this is something that's going to happen at some point in the future. Okay, next, first wet bulb event killing 50,000 plus. I had originally put 100,000 plus, but I knew that would sound hyperbolic to my siblings, so I dumbed that down to 50,000. Again, this is one of those things that is an inevitability at some point in the future. We're heading more and more in this direction, obviously. The ability for a wet bulb event to kill that number of people relies on where the wet bulb event is taking place and its duration. We have seen wet bulb temperatures, I should say deadly wet bulb temperatures, happen on Earth. We've just been lucky enough that they have not happened in highly populated areas, and they have not happened for long enough to have mass casualties. As the temperature continues to warm, as heat waves increase, as humidity increases, you know, they say again that with every 1 degree Celsius increase in temperature, we get a 7% increase in the amount of moisture that the atmosphere can hold. And so humidity increases, temperature increases, and wet bulb events will begin to happen at some point. So yeah, again, that will be a devastating day and a true wake up. If you've read the book by Kim Stanley Robinson called The Ministry for the Future, it's actually how this book opens up, is with a wet bulb event. And it is, if you don't want to read the whole book, that's fine. Read that first chapter, because it is harrowing to think about what this type of event will entail and what it would look like. Okay, next, mass migration from a U.S. state due to natural disaster. And then in parentheses, to be specific, I put at least a million people or 10% of the population, whichever is less. So I do think that at some point, again, this is something that's going to happen, right? It could be a devastating hurricane or flood event. It could be a wildfire. It could be an earthquake. It could be any number of things that has the potential to disrupt the population of a state or an area of the U.S. or of the world, of course, as well. Most of these are U.S.-based because it's what I know, and the predictions are more easily quantifiable by me in the U.S. But yeah, we've talked about a few different natural disasters that could cause this previously in the podcast. One of those was in California with the Arc storm. You know, that's one example of something that could cause catastrophic widespread destruction and exodus. One thing that's interesting, though, is that it doesn't have to, you know, this mass migration within the U.S. could happen from any number of not just primary events, but secondary events afterward, right? There could be a massive or many massive natural disasters that lead to insurance companies ceasing to insure homes. When that happens, where are people going to go? What do they do? They have to leave. They go try to find somewhere cheaper to live, et cetera, et cetera. I think this is going to be something not just from natural disasters that will be part of it, as climate change floods coastlines in Florida and California and the Northeast, but also from economic issues, again, fallout from insurance companies, those types of things. There's going to be a lot of movement. There will be entire swaths of the U.S., I think, in the next 30, 40 years that are now populated that will not be. So my prediction here was, I think, a minor beginning to that somewhere in at least a million or 10% of the population being displaced. Okay, China will begin military effort to occupy Taiwan. Again, I think it's another inevitability. I don't think China will stand by forever and not continue its expansionist efforts. Taiwan seems to be where it has its sights set, and this one is a prediction from me for this year. Again, I'm not an expert. I have no idea if it will actually happen, but I do believe that having Trump in the White House is going to weaken, you know, the international community's view on our willingness to stop them. Bitcoin crashes by greater than 60%. Yeah, I think not just from a normal, like, hey, we're in a bear run probably this year, the crypto cycle's going to turn. I do think that that's true, but I think Bitcoin could also experience a crash above and beyond that. It's hard to say what's going to happen with cryptocurrency in the long run. This is one of those things that, you know, as the US dollar and as regular fiat currencies struggle, crypto could succeed in the long run as a contender to be what fills that vacuum or what takes over. Do I believe that that's what's going to happen? I don't know. But Bitcoin crashing by 60% really isn't that much of a long shot prediction, considering how volatile cryptocurrencies are. And this is also not to say that after it crashes by that amount, it won't regain. So this is another one that I feel comfortable saying, you know, as a prediction for this year. Still a bit of a long shot, but yeah, we'll see. Three countries experience food price increase of at least 100%. You know, this is something that's happening around the world already. Countries are experiencing, people in localities are experiencing increases in food temperature, especially due to violence and conflict throughout the world. The Russia-Ukraine war has created a large increase in prices for many parts of the world. Crop issues with rice in India has caused a lot of issues. So these things, I think, are inevitable, and it will happen again at some point in the next decade, two decades. But to say obviously it's going to hit the developing nations or underdeveloped nations first. Those are the nations that either export so much of their GDP relies on the export of their food, and you know, developed countries are willing to pay for it, and so they will continue to export it, leaving their own citizens in trouble and with increased food costs. But eventually it will make its way out of developing and underdeveloped nations into the first world. And I think, you know, our inflation here in the US, for example, and in much of the Western world has been very high, not at 100% increase in cost, but quite high. I can't remember what the inflation on food has been over like the last decade, but it's close to that, I think, just over a little bit of a longer time span. So yes, will be interesting to see as countries start to experience price increases on food. Okay, high profile political assassination. This is one that I threw on there. It wasn't in my original bingo, but it is something that I think we'll see as tensions increase. We've already seen high profile political assassination attempts. They just haven't been successful. I think it is a matter of time before we see successful attempts, not necessarily on POTUS. And you know, I wouldn't claim, and I wouldn't want to claim, because I don't want the FBI coming to knock on my door, that is something that's going to happen. But it just feels like as things intensify, as tensions increase, as polarization mounts, that is something that we will see. Convincing claims of AGI. This one is sure to ruffle the feathers of some collapseware folk. A lot of people really like to hate on AI in a way, basically saying that it's all fluff. And I happen to not, well, I do think that a lot of AI is fluff, and I do believe that a lot of it is overhyped, but I also do see the direction that it's heading, and I do believe that AI is going to do things positive and negative, and primarily negative. So claims of AGI is not necessarily at all me saying a positive thing happening, but the fact that we're building computers that are becoming as smart as humans, you know, able to reason like humans, able to solve problems like humans with the breadth and depth in which humans do so, is something that I think is going to happen. And I do think that it's possible it could be this year or next year. We're just getting that close. It's still too expensive to be widely available to people. And I think it will continue to be too expensive to be widely available to the public, at least for a while. That is one of the negatives to me of AI. I think it will be a further division between the haves and the have-nots, and that it will be used to widen that gap in a financial sense. I think that the wealthy will use AI to make more money, and that those of us in the, you know, middle class and below may not have any access to that, and the middle class will disappear in part because of this issue. There's a host of other problems with AI that we've talked about in other episodes that we'll probably continue to talk about as they are made manifest. But I do think that at some point, AGI will come about. Okay. Bird flu or other pandemic declared. Again, can this really be called a long shot? Maybe to say that it's going to happen this year. But at some point, obviously, we are going to experience more pandemics. Whether the bird flu, the H5N1, becomes a pandemic, and whether it becomes a deadly pandemic or a very deadly pandemic, is yet to be seen. I think that there's little to no doubt that the way that our world works, our hyper-complex, interconnected systems, and the way that we've mingled our agriculture and domesticated animals means that we will see more of these viruses in the future. And it's just to be seen where those come from, how deadly they are, and what effects they have on society. A catastrophic cyber attack on a major corporation or utility in the U.S. This is just another one that I think is a matter of time, simply because as technology increases, as tension rises, this will become the new warfare tactic. We've talked about how vulnerable our utility infrastructure is in the U.S. As new technologies come about, it makes cybersecurity more difficult to maintain. We talked about quantum computing, which makes cybersecurity very difficult, if not impossible. And that's something that we may experience in the future. We've seen some instances of cyber attacks used, from state governments, organizations against other states. And I think it's a matter of time until we see that here. Summer riots and insurrection act invoked. This is merely a reflection of Donald Trump's desire and promise to do this. It seems like he is desperate to keep a clamp on the narrative and to shut down his enemies, to not allow them to use their First Amendment rights here in the U.S. The Insurrection Act, for those not familiar with it, essentially allows the president to use the military against its own citizens. That doesn't necessarily mean we're not talking about necessarily in like a, the full force of the military, but something like using the National Guard or other branches of the military to stamp out protests, which can be done in a violent way and essentially violates the rights of citizens, but with a stamp of approval. So yeah, that's something that I could definitely see happening, especially if Trump does terrible things that people are willing to stand up against. Okay, severe media censorship, legal battles with CNN and MSNBC. Again, Trump has just promised to take vengeance on his rivals. He has constantly belittled the media. These two were just examples of ones that I feel he has been most outspoken against. And I could see, making attempts to either sue them or to purchase them or to, in other ways, censor them, shut them up, and make it so that they are not able to or not willing to speak out against him. Blackout lasting more than 1 week for 2 million plus people. I had to say in the U.S. here specifically because I know that this type of thing does happen in different places around the world all the time. Brownouts especially are extremely common in certain countries. I was on a work call with someone from South Africa and they, they had to schedule their conversations with me via Zoom based on the brownouts and knowing that many times those brownouts were unexpected, but they also had their scheduled brownout periods. Parts of the world just don't have the ability to maintain their infrastructure with growth. And while the U.S. has been able to do so and keep it running up to this point, it is not sustainable. And at some point, I do think we will have major blackouts that may lead to more consistent brownouts into the future. This next one, the U.S. version of Tiananmen Square, I guess this is very similar to the Insurrection Act being invoked in summer riots. Just, I guess, precludes more violence, a single event in which many citizens could be killed and a lot of violence perpetrated against them from the government in order to silence them, similar to maybe like a Kent State situation, but I picture it being even more severe still. And if you were on our bonus episodes, when Kellen and I were doing this together, we briefly had a kind of a creative podcast in which we talked about the future. And in that podcast, we kind of created this creative, I guess, idea of what the future could be like in the year like 2032. And we acted like we were still podcasting at that time and talking about the things that were happening and had happened. And one of those was this idea of a major event involving Donald Trump using forces against the American people. And this was before Donald Trump had been elected. We predicted through that, kind of envisioning what the future was going to be like. We did predict that he was going to win. And I hope that the rest of the things that we talked about in those four or so episodes that we released on that before Kellen stepped away from the podcast, hope that those things don't come true. But this part of it, this prediction was one that came from that. Total collapse of one of the following: the healthcare system, B, home insurance, or C, university college system. These are all pieces of infrastructure capital in the U.S. that I think will not survive in the coming decades. I think home insurance is probably one of the first ones to fall. Maybe not completely, but there will be, I think, a collapse of that system generally as rates become too unaffordable because the rate at which homes are being destroyed by natural disasters, climate change, and other issues, failure to maintain infrastructure, economic issues not allowing for mortgages to last, those types of things, will make the insurance industry very hard to maintain. This is an extremely long shot, any one of these three for this year. There could be major events that might stoke these things. You know, another pandemic could have more severe impacts on the healthcare system. We nearly saw a collapse of the healthcare system. I mean, and you could probably argue that we saw a temporary collapse of the healthcare system during COVID. And so more strain being put on those systems, which have still not fully recovered, would or could be very, very detrimental to their long-term health. And then lastly, the university or college system, that's just one that maybe not even from like a necessarily collapse standpoint, it's just not sustainable. The way that our universities, colleges are run, the amount of money required to get a degree has increased exponentially. And the benefit that comes from that education seems to be decreasing. You don't have to have a college education anymore to make the same amount of money. In some cases, you do. Sure, there are plenty of jobs once you do, but I think the value of a college education is decreasing relative to the amount of its cost. And so as people start to figure that out, as kids stop enrolling in college because of those costs and because incomes are decreasing and the ability to repay those is decreasing and the loans and their interests are getting too crazy, it will make public colleges and universities very hard to maintain. This is just a silly one. I put Trump will ask, quote, would a nuclear winter really be that bad? So when you see that tweet or that video or whatever in the news conference or an interview where he says that, just remember I was the first to call it. Guerrilla warfare, internal terror attacks a la troubles in Ireland. If I were ever to picture a civil war type situation in the U.S., this is at least how it would begin and likely how it would persist. A civil war in the U.S. would not be, you know, North versus South, a line of people with guns firing at each other across a field. It would be guerrilla warfare. It would be, the right in their rural communities attacking infrastructure that supports large cities, for example. That's the type of stuff I could see really taking a grip on the U.S. I don't think that necessarily would begin this year, but it is, again, something I expect to see in the future. Russia makes move against NATO, and then I put specifically Poland. Dying empires seek to, in a last gasp effort, to exert their power and expand. It's a death rattle. It's a way of trying to maintain some sort of relevance in a system that's rejecting them. The U.S. has done that, is doing that, and will continue to do that. And I believe that Russia has already done that with Ukraine and will continue to attempt to do it. They are failing in Ukraine. It's not to say that they may ultimately fail there. They may end up winning that war. But with such great losses that it does call into question their long-term viability. And you could see a desperate attempt in an aging and potentially sick, people say, possibly Putin, to do some pretty drastic things and to make his presence known to NATO and to say that he's not going to accept any more expansion. So to be seen. Donald Trump dies in questionable circumstances. That's not really collapse related. I probably should have taken that one out. It's just a random guess. It wouldn't surprise me. There's conspiracies, and I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but there's some stuff that makes sense around the idea that Trump may not be the guy and can't continue to be the guy forever. And so, you know, Peter Thiel and his grasp on J.D. Vance and this idea that J.D. Vance could kind of be put into power, if that were to happen on purpose, it would be something that may not happen until after the 2-year mark so that J.D. Vance could have two full terms in office plus the almost 2 years taking over for Trump. So anyway, just a random guess. And I didn't say that he would be murdered. It's just that it will be questionable. Okay, we got 5 left here. Thanks for sticking with me, folks. Major discovery of proof of alien life disputed. So this one's fun because while I do believe in alien life, I have a very low probability that alien life would actually show itself here or that we would have proof or discovery of it. I think that as we've seen at the end of last year with all of these drones and then the UFOs, it seems like every couple of years there's this big like UFO conspiracy. There are aliens and we have proof of that, et cetera, et cetera. And I think it is a lovely distraction from what's actually happening. It's a great way to get people talking about something that's not anger towards the government. I mean, imagine Luigi Mangione shoots and kills a CEO and gets people just in a, you know, people are talking about this. They're talking about class consciousness and class warfare, and they're talking about the billionaires. And within a week, suddenly, all over the media, all over the news, all over social media, we're just seeing, we're being blasted by this, you know, oh, look at these drones. Who's sending the drones? Who can we blame? And it serves as a distraction. So I put it as kind of a silly long shot that there may be some, the government may come out and say, we have this proof, we're ready to release it, here it is, and it will probably happen at a very opportune time for them to distract from something else. All-out war in the Middle East. I did get more specific with this one, I think, on my final bingo with my siblings, but essentially that the war between Israel and Palestine, which is really a proxy war between the U.S. and Iran, will extend far beyond, and not just like, oh, Israel is sending some rockets into Lebanon or into Beirut or something like that, but like fully pulling other countries in. I could see Iran, you know, I could see a resurgence of war going into Iraq or pulling in Saudi Arabia or something like that as being a very real possibility. And that can be, again, proxy from Iran. It could also be Russia, China, funding and supporting that proxy war. A major shortage will halt entire industries, precious metals, semiconductors, or natural resources. I worry a lot about semiconductors with the issue of China-Taiwan. Taiwan is one of the, or maybe the largest semiconductor producer in the world. And China having control over Taiwan would be a huge benefit to China and a huge detraction to the U.S. Our stability in being able to source those semiconductors is dependent on Taiwan currently. And there's a lot of efforts in the U.S. to be independent with semiconductors and make those ourselves. It's slow going. It's a huge process to get those plants up and running. And even when we do, would we be completely independent? So yeah, that's one I could definitely see coming into play. Semiconductors, we talked earlier about AI and all of that, and that's all reliant on these semiconductors. Okay. Precious metals and natural resources, like there could at any time be a shortage of those that all of our systems rely on a steady supply of. And so with our fragile supply chains, I think that it is not unlikely that at some point we will see a halting of industries as the availability of those items become rare. Energy prices skyrocket. Oil, gas, electricity, a 50% plus increase in their costs. We saw some of this in different parts of the world. In the UK, there was like a 300% increase in the cost of natural gas during, let's see, when was that? I'm trying to remember, it was right after the Russia-Ukraine war started, I believe. And luckily, that has stabilized and come back nearly to what it was prior. Energy prices are just so volatile. They're so unreliable because it's not something that you can necessarily stockpile. It is something that is produced, created, shipped, and going to the end user in a very sort of just-in-time inventory method. And any disruption in that supply chain from the actual supply of the product itself and the production all the way to getting it to its final consumer, you know, through the massive supply chain can cause real issues. War does this, of course, because especially with gasoline, with petrol, there's just so few nations relatively that control the whole market that it is easy for embargoes and things to increase the costs or a decrease in supply. If well runs dry, if economic constraints don't allow for it to be profitable, et cetera, et cetera. So these things can happen quickly. And I think this is going to be, just from a collapse perspective, one of the biggest things that we're going to see have the biggest shocks on the world and our society is the inability for individuals to be able to pay the high price of a dwindling supply of energy. Last one, stagflation declared. So again, we've talked about how everything in collapse, I'm going to harp on this more next week, but is economically related or it's economically manifested. Collapse shows itself through our economic system. And so stagflation is, you know, amongst the worst economic scenarios you can be in which the price of everything increases, but the income in which people are receiving to pay those higher prices does not increase. In a normal inflationary situation, maybe the price of groceries doubles, but so does, you know, the income on average, or at least stays somewhat close, which means that it basically just means that the money you have saved in the bank has less of a value, even though you're still able to pay your groceries with the income that you receive from your job. It hurts people in retirement, right? It hurts assets that you might have that don't grow with the inflation, et cetera, et cetera. But stagflation is so much worse because it means that the price of groceries goes up, but the ability to pay for those groceries does not increase. And if you are the average citizen, you probably are saying, well, yeah, I'm experiencing that. Groceries went up 60% over the last X number of years, but my income has gone up 10%, right? Or not gone up at all. In the US, we have seen that minimum wage has not increased in like 20 years. When I started working at 16, it was the same that it is now, which is $7.25 an hour. I did earn that when I started my first job. I have been blessed that since COVID, my industry or whatever, my income has increased, and I've been very lucky to be able to afford the increasing costs of groceries and housing and energy and all of those things. But I know so many people are not. And this feeling of stagflation for individuals is there. It's just whether or not it's going to be something that is maintained throughout the entire economy and across, you know, the average. And so whether or not stagflation gets declared this year or into the future, I don't know. But I do think that this will be the way in which collapse manifests itself. And one specific example of this, we just talked about groceries. If the supply of groceries were to decrease, if the supply of food goes down, that would necessitate an inflationary pressure on the cost of those groceries, right? There's just as many people that need them, but there's less of them to be had, and so the cost of those increase. While at the same time, economic issues make it so that there are less jobs available, so less people are working, and corporations or businesses can pay people less because there is more demand for those jobs. That's exactly how that plays out. Suddenly, they can be picky and choosy about who they hire. They can hire the people who are willing to be paid less. And now those people are paying for groceries that cost more. And that's exactly what collapse is going to be. A decrease in the amount of supplies, an increase in that demand causing the cost to go up, but a decrease in the ability for people to pay for them as jobs become less and less acquirable. All right. These are my predictions. I have to say it again, and I'm sorry if it bugs you that I keep saying it, but I hate when people come out with predictions and say, I am God, I know what's going to happen. I am not God. I'm not an expert. I'm just me. And this is where my collapsed brain is at. Thanks for joining me. I hope that if you are enjoying these episodes, you'll join me on Patreon. Come find me there. Just get more episodes, right? Another episode each week. Hang out with me for another 20 minutes or so there. Talk about the things that are happening in the world. We'll talk about, you know, which these predictions might come true through the news stories each week. And then you can also have access to communicate and message me there through Patreon, where I spend more time. Thanks so much. Have a great week. We'll talk again later.
Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.